Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNLReport.com. My guest in this segment is George Staccaro, superintendent of the Copper Country Intermediate School District. Thank you, Mr. Staccaro, for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate that.
We know that you're new to the position, so give us a little background about yourself.
I have been in education for 25 years, 16 years as a special education teacher. I taught down at Crystal Falls Forest Park for 12. I moved up to the Copper Country when my wife took a job at Michigan Tech. I was a special education teacher in Hancock for 4 more years. After that, I became the principal of Chassel Schools for 5 years. After that, I became the superintendent for the next 4 years at Chassel. And just this year, I have been given the job of the Copper Country ISD superintendent, which I look very forward to working hard at.
And I know it's early. It's early on. It's been a couple of months. How's the job been so far?
Lots to learn. Mm-hmm. It is a much different job than a superintendent of a local school district. I think you work much more with public agencies. You have many different aspects to the job that I'm still learning, anywhere from the teaching aspect or the programs we offer, to working with community members, to working with organizations, to working with the legislature. So I'm doing my best to learn them all.
Has there been any issues so far in the last couple of months, or any issues that you anticipate maybe coming up in this school year?
As far as in the legislature, is that?
Yeah.
I would say that the one new bill that we are actively watching is what we call the Distress School Bill. This bill has to do with schools that are close to being in the red but are not in the red.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, if a school is in the red now, the state has come in and started what they call a deficit elimination plan, and schools have to go through that and a lot of reporting and have to work themselves out. What the state is now considering is a program to look at schools that are close to going in the red or looking like they could be in trouble. Unfortunately, they have what they believe right now are 19 triggers, that they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And if the school meets one or two of these 19 triggers, they would now be put on this list and now have to do much more reporting and things like that.
So all it would be was just be a couple of these triggers? It wouldn't be like a majority of them?
Correct. And now, again, it's right now just in, I believe, the Senate, and it's supposed to be voted out of a committee. As a superintendent, this bill scares me, and we will talk to our legislatures, because the last thing I just saw was they believed, just based on 2 triggers, that they could actually capture 248 school districts. So it is a bill that they need to really look at closely, because I believe, you know, the schools all know where they're close, and they are making all the adjustments that they need to add on multiple reporting pieces for these schools, to put on more oversight would make their job much more difficult. So we are monitoring, like I said, this bill very closely, and our recommendation is that it needs to be changed drastically or hopefully just put away, but we'll see.
In terms of the future of the district, obviously when you come into a new position, you try to have a broad plan of what kind of things would you like to see within the district?
When I came into the superintendent's position, all facets of the ISD come up with goals. Mm-hmm. And I have come up with my own goals. And my number one goal is to represent the Copper Country, all schools. It's amazing that the ISD helps 13 school districts. And I don't know if people realize that there are 13 individual school districts in the Copper Country ISD. I believe my job is to help promote every one of them. It's proven that our schools here in the Copper Country do an excellent job. Many of our schools have received many awards for their academics.
You see them all. I've seen a couple on the lists of the top schools in Michigan. They really get recognized.
Correct. They're on the top. Well, they have a top to bottom list. Many of our schools are on the top end of those. We've had many reward schools for doing better than they expected. So we know what's going on here as of the last 10 years has been awesome. And my job to me is to help that in any way I can. Schools have tough times when it comes to the finances and trying to do programs. And in any way that I can help promote the schools, help the schools get past any hurdle, that to me is our biggest job. We are here to help facilitate, to help the schools do what they've already been doing. And that's a great job with our students.
In regards to state funding, now it's different when it comes to the intermediate school district and the local districts. Could you go into the differences with that?
The big difference is that the local schools get paid per student. And so depending on how many students they get, and the funding is around $7,100 and some dollars. And I don't know the exact number right now. But for the ISD, we do not get paid per pupil. We are we get millages for like special ed, and so we have guaranteed money that comes in, and so we are not dependent on how many students are in a program. So we are definitely a little bit more stable, and we don't have to worry about, you know, student count every day.
And in terms of the other districts, clearly the ISD tries to help out and tries to get involved. Talk a little bit about what ways the ISD gets involved or has gotten involved.
Well, first of all, I guess it's important to know what does the ISD right now provide. And some of the things is we provide a majority of special education because that is more for our more cognitively impaired students. There's not that many students in every school district for the local school district to have a classroom on their own. So we provide those services, and we combine students to make classrooms in the Copper Country. So that is one thing that we do. We have the REMC, which is our, what do you want to call it, IT guys, and we help provide services in computers, internet, and services like that. Many school districts can't afford to have their own IT guy and their own, mm-hmm. you know, computer software guy and things like that. So we have a consortium, and our job is to help schools. And some schools have us physically in their buildings anywhere from one day every week, every other week, to some people have us in there 2 days a week. And it's whatever the schools feel that they need our support, we will go in there and support them. So again, it's a bigger issue where some big schools can maybe handle it on their own, but many small schools can't. And so by combining these services and expertise, we can help our schools.
In general, do the issues, are they on a school-by-school basis, or do you try to look at it district-wide in terms of consolidating?
I think we try to look at consolidating services. What can we do to help all the schools? Another example of consolidating services is like the business office, the accountants. Again, some big schools have their own accountants, and there's enough need for them to be full-time. Many small schools do not need a full-time accountant. Mm-hmm. So how can we help? And we have taken over the business services of many of the smaller schools or pieces of the schools where, you know, they are ISD employees where they can, you know, do work a couple days a week in one school, a couple days in another school, and help out doing those services. Again, it takes a little bit of the burden off of the local schools. They don't have to fund a full-time person, and it saves them, the school, local school district's money, and it's a service that we can provide, and it's a win-win for everybody.
You mentioned that the CCISD does a real good job with special education. Is there a sector that maybe you think you wish the ISD or you feel like the ISD could help out a little bit more in?
Not necessarily. I think I'm very proud of what our what the ISD does. When I took over this job, one of my goals, again, was I need to understand what we provide. And so now that school has started, I've actually gone to visit classrooms that our ISD runs. And I'm amazed at the talent of our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our school psychologists do. And so it's I've been able to visit six or seven classrooms, and there's still more to visit. But what we have an outstanding staff, and our job is to work with schools, work with parents, and provide the best education for those special education students. And I am confident we are doing that. And not that we won't continue to work at it and try to be better, but the Copper Country should be very proud of the staff, of the teachers, and like I said, parapros and speech therapists and school psychologists that work with our students, because they work very, very hard and they're doing a great job.
When you're trying to get a fair assessment of the state of the district in terms of funding, in terms of grades, class sizes, is it better to do it on a year-by-year basis, or do you prefer in intervals, in like every 3 years or every 5 years? How do you judge the state of the district?
Well, again, I think we look back to what's been the history of the Copper Country. What are our teachers doing? What are our students doing? And you can all, like I said, go back to the reward schools, the top to bottom list. We are very successful. I think the biggest challenge, obviously, is funding. And I think that, you know, the schools are doing the best they can. They are cutting corners. They are doing everything they can to keep as much as they can in the classroom and not take away from the students. And that's where you see, again, the ways of consolidating or working together. Again, and I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but how does the ISD come in and help? We help with business services. We help with IT services. We help, you know, with special education services. So that takes some of the burden off of the local schools, that they keep that money for their students in their classrooms.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, George Takaro, superintendent of the Copper Country Intermediate School District. In terms of the shrinking of the, I mean, I really don't like to go into like the negative, but it's something that seems like it needs to be addressed. How long can a district, not necessarily the intermediate school district, but a district, how long can they hold on when it just shrinking and shrinking until somebody has to get involved?
Well, unfortunately, that's happening everywhere. We know that there's declining enrollment. We see schools trying to make cuts, trying to do everything they can. I guess I look at it a different way. We have actually a committee of superintendents and principals trying to create new ideas. Mm-hmm. I can't go into all the specific details, but actually today I received an email of an outline of what they're going to start trying to do. And they're looking at other states to see what other states are doing. I know that Massachusetts is considered one of the top states of their academics overall, and they're looking at how do they fund it and what are they doing right and what can Michigan maybe follow. So, an example is, I know in 1980, Massachusetts and Michigan spent the same amount per student. I know now that Massachusetts spends much more than Michigan does per student. Now, some people believe that just giving you more money does not mean that you'll have a better system. People will disagree on that. There are studies that show that if you spend more money, that you can provide better services. But our job is to deal with the money we have and do the best we can and look for solutions, and we are.
The Berrigan Area Schools is one of a couple of districts that have these combo classes. Is that something that the CCISD has looked at, has considered?
Again, every school probably does, has to be as creative as they possibly can. And so there are schools that have like you said, a combo class, like a second, third grade combined.
Mm-hmm.
It has worked, and so we know that it has worked. Is it the most ideal? Each school has to make that decision on their own. And so that's something like, again, it's local control. It's local schools. What works best for them?
Let's get into the vocational education, because that's it seems like it's going to be a hot button topic, especially in this area. Talk a little bit about how the CCISD is getting involved in that.
Well, I love that question. First of all, vocational education is something that's very dear to my heart. I believe that it is something that needs to be expanded. So let me tell you some of the neat things that are happening. First of all, on October 2nd, we are going to have a career tech fair here at the Houghton County Arena. And we are having electricians and welders and general contractors and machinists and automotive people, all these vocational certified people, and come in and do demonstrations for our kids. We are inviting 600 kids from Berga, Houghton, Keweenaw, Ontonagon, and Gogebic are coming to this fair. And it's going to be an all-day event, and students are going to come and get a chance to actually see the big, heavy equipment and how it works, and get a sense of what vocational trades exist here in the Copper Country and across the UP. The one thing that I am finding out already is that in meeting with the people who are putting this trade show on, is they are concerned there are not going to be enough employees in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
Many of their employees are getting older and getting ready to retire, and we do not have enough young people ready to step in and take those positions. So it is something that I definitely see in the future. We need to meet that challenge. The Michigan Merit Curriculum is now changing. The Michigan Merit Curriculum was a very strong curriculum, and it was geared towards everybody going to college. The legislature, I believe, with help from local schools, told them not every student is going to go to college, and we need more vocational students to fill these jobs that are coming up.
Yeah.
So effective this year, or it goes into effect this year, they have changed the Michigan Merit Curriculum where they are saying that you do not have to take 2 years of foreign language anymore. You can substitute one foreign language class for a vocational class. You used to have to take three science classes, specific science classes. They are now saying one of those science classes can be a vocational certified class. An example of that is in here in the Copper Country, we have a health careers class and we have a nurse's aid class. Those two classes would fit perfectly for a science type of class. So, whereas in the past, some students couldn't fit it into their schedule because of all the required academics,
mm-hmm.
Because they are changing the Michigan Merit Curriculum, we see that there will be more flexibility in their schedules where they can now take more career tech type of classes. So I am very hopeful over the next couple of years that the CCISD can look to somehow create more vocational opportunities.
Have you been able to gauge a response to this from the parents or the students for these changes?
Personally, I know from my students when I was in Chassel that there are many of them are excited about having more choices mm-hmm. for vocational. I can, again, go back to the committee that I've been on who are putting on this career fair. You know, the employer people who are in these vocationals are very excited about the possibility of opening up more chances because they really feel they are going to be hurting for employees, in the future. So they are excited about that.
Back to the career fair. How did the idea come up for something like that?
I believe they put one on 2 years ago down in Escanaba. And so they realized how successful that was, and their plan is to kind of rotate through the UP. And this happens to be our turn, so that, you know, it is picked for the five counties.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, Berga, Houghton, Ontonagon, Gogebic. And so they want to put on this career fair for those students. And I assume a year from now they'll go to another part of the UP and maybe make a rotation every 3 years and come back. But it's this is employer-driven. They're the ones who say, we need these kids to be interested in – because we're going to not have – you know, some employees pretty soon. And so we may not be able to even bid for some jobs because we don't have enough employees.
And what kind of work does the CCISD do with these employers in terms of finding out what are they looking for in prospective employees?
I think this is what I'm doing right now, is going to these meetings where I'm getting to meet with these employers or these groups of electricians and machinists and welders. And so this is probably the newest thing that I'm learning, to find out, hey, they are nervous. And so I'm going to hopefully use this career tech fair as a springboard to come up with some new ideas of new programs and look for local support to create more career tech classes in the future. Currently, right now, the ISD has three CTE classes. We have an auto tech class, we have a health careers, and we have a nurse's aid program. Three awesome programs, but I believe we can do better and we can offer more programs.
Is there any sector of those that you see being more popular just within the Copper Country itself?
I think it may go up and down. Right now, the nurse's aid program is packed. Mm-hmm. And we know people need nurses, and that's one of the shortages. So I think we just... It's this year we have three full classes, and we only had two last year. So we can see that there's that need or that interest. And so that is one of our big programs. I'm hoping to, like I said, create interest through this career tech fair and get a perspective of these groups to find out what programs exist or what future jobs exist. One other new thing that has to do with this is what they call the Regional Prosperity Initiative. And this is the governor's initiative of regionalizing programs. And so I am on this, what we call RPI mm-hmm. committee, and Whoopeter is in charge of it right now. And we've broken down into two subgroups. And there is a education subcommittee. And it has been... I have been on that with the GOISD ISD superintendent, but there have been people from Finlandia, Michigan Tech, Gogebic, the Ojibwa Community College, and we are together trying to come up with ideas of what do we see the needs are. And ironically, right now, it is CTE programs and looking to see what kind of things we can do that allow people to get our students to get vocationally certified to go right away into the workforce, but also have a plan that if they really fall in love with it, maybe they can still go on to a 4-year program or 2-year program to get even more education. So I think looking for those career pathways for our students is our big goal.
Like you said, with those career pathways, is the CCISD going to be working closely with the local universities, and in what ways will they be working with?
Well, right now we are. It's like I said, it's Gogebic, Michigan Tech, Finlandia, and the two ISD superintendents. So right now we are actually, what we're doing is called asset mapping. We are trying to find out what programs exist over these 4 or 5 counties in high schools, in ISDs, what exists in our universities, what in our community colleges, and trying to find out what exists already and how can we share resources and how can we build those career pathways. So we are actually going to create a plan. And so right now you have all these groups talking together and sitting down, and the first thing right now is this asset mapping. What exists? And then where can we go from there?
And I do want to hit on the Common Core curriculum, just because there's been a lot of backlash specifically from the Tea Party about this is the worst thing, this is just so bad. For those who just oppose it so much, how can you address those concerns?
All I can say is right now we follow the Michigan merit curriculum. We follow the Michigan standards. The Michigan standards today for math and English are the Common Core standards. That is what Michigan says that they believe is what we need to do for math and English. That is the so we will implement those standards. They are the Michigan standards.
Excellent. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Stickero, for giving us the state of the district of the CCISD. Thank you so much for stopping in today.
Thank you for having me.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer, healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at QNRReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.